With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We continue to talk about the Browns as we get set for tomorrow night's game against the Cincinnati Bengals, and we bring in friend of the show, Mark Sessler from NFL.com. He is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So, Mark, just to give you a little bit of a heads up, a little bit of panic going on here in Cleveland after that devastating loss to the Ravens in week one. I don't think any of us saw it. I think we saw it coming that you could lose to the Ravens, but I don't think we thought it was going to be that bad. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, that would sum it up for me. You know, it's been 2020, not exactly the easiest year for most. And midway through that game, I thought to myself, I don't know if a hyper-chaotic Browns campaign dipped in total darkness is what I needed right now. So I really desperately am hoping that they can show a little bit more, because to me it felt like a discombobulated no-show. I mean, we can all remember a lot of bad Browns games. That can't be what they are this year. I have to believe that it was just simply the case of getting tangled with probably the worst team to deal with in week one around.
Mark, thank you. Thank you for hammering that home, and please continue to do that, because around here, it has been. I mean, we've wanted coach fired. I had a guy calling up already wanting to bench the quarterback for Case Keenum. We're trying to trade Odell Beckham Jr. It's just overreaction nonsense from the word go. And please keep hammering that home. It's just one game. It's just one game.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And it's, again, it's like 7% of your schedule. And I think if there was a team, you know, around that you'd want to say, we need to give a few weeks to, Cleveland would be in that category. I also look at the Carolina Panthers, who were pegged as being the most behind team of anyone in the league because they have coordinators that have never been at the NFL level, and it might be a real long time before they're even vaguely competitive. And their offense, with new parts and old, were maximized to put up 30 points. So, you know, it isn't, the NFL isn't really accepting of teams saying, you know, we're going to take 2 months to find out who we are. I mean, the amount of money and resources being poured into the Cleveland Browns is excessive. So you don't have a lot of time to correct yourselves. I don't think the Bengals are an easy out the way that they have been in years past. It starts with their quarterback. And it's a really unusually high-pressure scenario for week two. That's what I would say, that it doesn't feel to me like other week two matchups in the past based on the matchup, the team. You know, forget the Battle of Ohio stuff. There hasn't really been a Battle of Ohio since, you know, really the last century. But the idea that you've got Joe Burrow flying in week two on national television, if the mind wants to go there, it presents some disturbing potential scenarios.
A lot of talk about OBJ over the last 24, 48 hours and his future here in Cleveland, you know. Should they trade him? Should they not trade him? What are your thoughts on and I agree with you guys. It was one game that we saw. I think he's healthy again. I just think there some things need to be worked out. And I just still doesn't feel natural between him and Baker Mayfield. And I think that's why people are like, hey, we better do something here because this just doesn't look right. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd look at, you know, people spent August saying, will DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray have any chemistry? They didn't practice in camp. You know, it might be the wrong guy to pick, the wrong wide receiver to pick in fantasy. His numbers are going to be down. They don't run a good offense for one wide receiver to be a star with four wideouts. He goes out, he catches 14 passes for 150 something yards and is a complete raging game maker, game changer. So I would say that, you know, when you're seeing a combination that's not working kind of game after game, that it is fair to ask, why is this still an issue? It's cool that it was an issue week one through four last year, but it still seems to be. The idea of moving Odell Beckham right now, I don't like the precedent in that. just simply because then it puts Cleveland into one of these categories of, we're the Browns, we can't really cater to or handle star players, and it's not too, we can make a splash by grabbing one, but it's not too long before we have to move on and replace Odell Beckham with a self-started rookie that won't speak out. And I would like to see it work with Odell Beckham. The idea of jumping ship on a player today, this week, is absurd to me. I mean, there's a trade deadline at the end of October for that if you really want to come to a conclusion. But do you want to be the team that couldn't make it work? I still think we're in the early stages of finding out how this offense will function under Stefanski. Don't want to be in that place right now, but that just seems to be the reality of it.
He is Mark Sessler of NFL.com and, of course, the Around the NFL podcast. All right, Mark, let's flip to the other side of the ball with the defense. What do you see there that can improve going into this week against Cincinnati? Because, I mean, Olivier Vernon was MIA, and we've had him on milk cartons across this fine area, and no one's found him yet.
Everything. I just look at, now again, I mean, it is, you are playing a Super Bowl-level offense, and I think an agitated Ravens team a week ago. But if you break down the numbers, Lamar Jackson's success rate was relatively equal, whether he was pressured, whether he was kept clean in the pocket, whether he was in play action, whether he was just sort of doing a basic straight drop back. I mean, he shredded them in every way. It feels like an old story, but I am waiting for a Browns team that consistently tackles, that we can rely on to leave an enemy bruised. The team doesn't want to come back and play the Browns. I mean, they're a very inviting target with the way they played last week. And, you know, it's not a team that the Browns shouldn't know well. You know, Mark Andrews is not a stranger. Their ground game is not unusual. They have film aplenty on Lamar Jackson, and I thought they did a much better job a year ago, causing problems from Lamar Jackson than they did this past game. So I have, you know, everyone wants to focus on offense. That's just sort of the basic nature of things. I came out of last week looking at the defense and saying, who is it that you're going to stop? It's every game's different, but this would be the game against the Bengals. Their offensive line looks awful. It looks to be, I think, the worst in the league right now. And for everything that Joe Burrow did well, a lot of his problems were caused by being on the run behind two terrible tackles in week one. If Cleveland can't take advantage of that, no matter what the result of the game is, I would consider that a concern.
Yeah, but here's the hard part for this defense where, you know, 50% returns. I don't even know if it's 50% return from last year. I mean, they've struggled over the last four games, not allowing more, you know, allowing more than 30 points in every game. And, you know, we've spent the last couple of days really dissecting the offense. But, I mean, beyond that, the Browns defense outside of that front four just feels so shaky. And I think we knew that, with the exception of Denzel Ward. But it's just, we didn't know what to expect at linebacker. The DBs are, you know, questionable. We didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about the offense, and the defense just gives me just panic attacks thinking about them. Just at least trying to keep a team under 20 points, let alone 30 points.
Yeah, I mean, I separate the results last year a little bit because I think when they lost Myles Garrett and that pass rush and how a pass rush can help your secondary, that it was a different world they were in. And I think the whole team was in a meltdown mode. But again, I mean, you know, Myles Garrett didn't make a huge presence in week one. I want to see more. I still think Myles Garrett is a tremendous game changer. But you're right, the back half of the defense is a mystery. And a lot of times when it's, hey, let's go in and see what we have at linebacker, or let's go see what we have in our secondary. Losing Grant Delpit was huge for them. And I think that they made it clear and they were honest about that. They had a special role for him, and it's hard to replace that. But when that's the case, you kind of typically have to trend towards thinking this is not necessarily going to work out well. And I came out of the first week feeling like they didn't challenge Baltimore at all. I mean, Baltimore really had their way. And even if it's the Ravens, that result was probably one of the most disappointing results that week one offered from any team. And so, you know, Cleveland's under pressure on both sides of the ball. It's not just Baker and Odell and everything else. It's like you're not going to survive in the AFC North with the kind of defense they have. Go look at what the Steelers did. I mean, they look like the best defense in the league. So it's both sides.
All right, Mark, I'm giving you the Andy Reid face mask and the playbook. Fix this. Where do you start?
Well, first of all, I don't like that face mask. That thing is not working. I like to be able to see things.
I think Andy Reid,
you know, he knew right away that was not working. He's got the giant utility belt going for him, and the whole outfit needs some work. But if I'm thinking Browns, you've got to. What did work well last week? I think it's Nick Chubb. I would just really lean on the ground game as much as you can. Kareem Hunt is a versatile, wonderful running back. Their offensive line played well. Wyatt Teller was the number one rated guard in last week's play. I mean, that was the one thing that was meant to be a wait and see. So there are positives. I think that you can get back on track. If you are a Stefanski offense, you want to use your tight ends a bunch. I think Harrison Bryant is someone that people don't have a lot of tape on who could be really interesting. And use your run game, use your tight ends to get Baker comfortable. And I would veer away. My issue with Odell Beckham is when they're trying to force feed him. And I don't know if that's something that's maybe in Baker's head a little bit. I mean, that's the kind of stuff where let's get away from that and let's use one of the better running games in the league against the Bengals team that can be run on. It seems that simple, and it's the right thing to do in a short week. I mean, when you these Thursday night games, you're really not even practicing. You're doing walkthroughs. Stick to the basics. Do what you do well, and prevent chaotic turnovers and situations that will turn Cincinnati into an upset winner in Cleveland. Don't like that at all.
All right, last question for you, from me at least. What do we learn about? Can you learn anything about Kevin Stefanski from the first week and take that into the second week too?
Yeah, I think you can, because first of all, I mean, you know, the demeanor of a coach in a tough time and his ability to focus the team, to come up with a game plan that is surprising, to, you know, give players goals that they understand. I think this stuff is happening. I want to find out what Stefanski coming off a really ugly loss to a team. I mean, to a team that people in Cleveland, in Baltimore, understandably feel passionately against. That what happened with the Ravens and the Browns, every time you lose to the Ravens, it's twice a loss. And how do you come off that? Now you're playing the Bengals. It's Thursday night football. The entire universe is waiting to pounce on Baker Mayfield. I mean, I just think that the Browns went from being darlings a year ago to now an easy to pick on team once again. It's Kevin Stefanski's job to flip the narrative and change the story on Thursday night.
Mark, as always, thank you. We always appreciate your perspective, especially when it comes to the Browns and when we read you at NFL.com. So thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Talk soon, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Mark Sessler on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.